Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Mark, chapter 3. We're doing 35 verses, because that's what the third chapter of Mark has in it. And we're doing the translation and commentary. Plus, I'm doing part 4 of what a person of the Lord's, what their character should be. And also in it, I tell of what a person's character is when they're not of the Lord. And also we have a little bit of, we have some letters and a prayer. Right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to open up the windows of heaven and pour out his ministering spirit, his outward anointing. Father, you're already pouring out your outward anointing. I always feel your outward anointing when I'm about to minister, when you're about to minister through me. Oh, I praise you for it, Lord, and I thank you for it. There are people that are totally, the whole world is totally confused and deceived. And Lord, I pray that you take over this service and anoint it, and you take over the service. Let nothing be said of me if it's not you doing the talking through me. Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, I ask that you alert all the people in Radio Land, the saved and the lost, that the lost might be saved and the saved might be edified. Lord, let the homeless out there be saved. Because when they are saved, you'll never see, you stated that you'll never see the seed of the righteous begging bread. You will keep them safe and sound. They won't be street people anymore. Lord, you chasten those that you love. When you're pouring out your wrath on some people, it's because they don't accept your chastening, or they don't accept your word. But Lord, you sometimes, many times, and all the time, you chasten those that you love because you want them to not go to hell in the lake of fire. And so everything we know is of the Lord. This is not a natural disaster in New Orleans and around the coast, the Gulf Coast, but it's a supernatural catastrophe. It's stated in your word that you would do these things not only in the last days, but you do it many times. You brought plagues upon the earth. You brought plagues upon Egypt. You got plagued Sodom and Gomorrah. And you also plagued people that attempted to go back to Egypt and caused people to burn incense unto other gods that are no gods at all. And, you know, there were no rescue parties around. It was obvious that you didn't want anyone to rescue those that you were pouring out your wrath on. When you opened the earth and swallowed all those people in the hell, none of your people went and started throwing ropes or chains down into the canyon there where you opened it up and swallowed them in and then closed the canyon on them as they went down into hell alive. And you didn't have the Hebrew children going and rescue the first the people in Egypt at all. And you never had anybody run into Sodom and Gomorrah and clean up the mess that you did there. You did that, Lord. You sent angels in and warned the people of Sodom and Gomorrah that you were going to pour out your wrath on them. Now, Lord, I ask that you shut the mouths of these people that just preach that you're going to just condone everything that people do, because that is totally false doctrine. You have caused many nations to be slaughtered. You caused the whole world to be drowned. And I didn't see Noah in your word throwing lifesavers out the window, or different inner tubes or anything like that, or even a piece of board for them to hang on to. When you curse somebody, it's for a reason, Lord. They sinned. And that's what you're doing now, and it's what we saw in Indonesia and what we're seeing now in New Orleans and around the Gulf Coast there and other places in the world. You're doing that as well, and you promised people that you would. And that's why we pray, Lord, that they'll hear these words and that they'll repent and that they'll come to you so that these things will not happen to them. Lord, give them some common sense to believe the truth in Jesus' name. We pray and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Can you see God sending us, you know, if he's pouring out fire and brimstone on some town, go in there and get them. Now, all these people that are doing these things, I think it's fine, you know, because hopefully this was a wake-up call to those people. He didn't kill every one of them like he did in Sodom and Gomorrah and the ones that he swallowed into hell. And the time that he destroyed all the people on the earth except eight people, Noah and his family. But yes, for sure, I won't be one of these do-gooders that's going to be running in if he starts pouring out fire and brimstone on some place. And you may say I'm a bad guy for that, but the Lord told his chosen people to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah and don't even look back. And certainly don't go back there and try to dig some of them out of that sulfur and salt and brimstone. Now you're saying, well, are you saying that we shouldn't go in there? Well, sure. But I don't want you to say either that I didn't warn them and the Lord didn't warn them that these things are going to be happening, and he's warning you too. So if you've got any a chip on your shoulder against the Lord, I pray that you will get that chip off your shoulder, because it won't do you any good. If God starts pouring, he can pour any kind of a plague out on your town. And will he spare some? Yes. I noticed that there was a lot of people that got out of there. Amen. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't from me warning them. I warned the scientists and everybody, and then in the weatherman for years now. The only time they started warning people is when they saw the storm coming. Amen. Mm-hmm. But I told them that the storm was coming before it started coming.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm way ahead of you guys. You scientists and weathermen, way ahead of you, and I'm telling you that this is going to happen to many other places. The entire world is going to be moved off of its axis. So get ready, ready your soul for eternity, and then the Lord will spare you like he did the Hebrew children in Egypt. God knows how to spare you. If you're walking in the Spirit, he'll talk to you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now where's your first letter from?
From Israel.
From Israel. This lady sent her picture, and she has cancer, doesn't she?
Yes.
I'd say she, in this picture, I don't know if this is a new picture of her.
She's 2 years old.
2 years old. She looks like she's about 30, doesn't it? 35 at the most.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and read it.
Dear beloved Pastor Tony Alamo, ! I am happy to tell you that I have already become a servant of God through your gospel literature, which I regularly get.
Isn't this something, you know, a woman in Israel, she's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, a Hebrew, and there are many of them being saved now. Then what?
I thank you very much for a parcel with a good amount of literature for distribution among my friends. I thank the God for giving me the opportunity to thank you for your support by sending me newsletters. They are really inspiring. I can never stop reading until I have finished reading. Moreover, I enjoy rereading. The more I read, the more I understand the Word of Almighty God. I organized a small fellowship here in Israel. There are seven of us, and also seven members are there in Russia, in Moscow. I send them every newsletter I get written by Tony Alamo. I do it with great pleasure, because they are also interested, as me, to give their life to God. We are saved souls. We were lost and found again. Dear Pastor, you are my present and my future. I'd like to thank you for your literature. I want you to know that I realized reading your literature influenced my life, my spirit, and moreover strengthened me to give my life to God. I thank you very much for accepting me in the family of Christians. Now I don't feel lonely. Again, I would like to thank you for the parcel I received. It's a real blessing for the ministry. "Dear Pastor, I have something very important to tell you. I'm sorry that I didn't tell you about it. On the one hand, I was ashamed of my troubles. On the other hand, my belief is stronger, stronger, and stronger. A year has passed after operation, but I'm still suffering from side effects after chemotherapy. A week ago, my family doctor recommended me to visit the Center of Alternative and Homeopathic Medicine. It's a private clinic. I was examined, and it turned out that the problem was that my body didn't get enough daily vitamins and minerals because of poor food. The doctors prescribed me typical supplements in pill form, which may not be fully absorbed."
Now, talking about poor food, you know, the Lord told me years ago that I should fast half the time. I should eat half the time and fast. Now, you know, a lot of people say I don't look a day over 45 years old, and I'm quite a bit older than that, and I feel real good, and so I eat half the time. The other half of the time I don't. So what that does is it causes your body to rest half the time. A lot of people think, well, I'm going to eat, you know, and so, but you're causing your body to... I was in the health studio business for years. Health clubs, we had the world's largest health club in the whole world. And we actually sponsored the Mr. America contest, the Mr. Universe contest, and were part of... The people that were in there with me sponsor also the Mr. Olympia and Miss Olympia contest as well. And I learned, the right way to eat back then, but still, I thought I was eating right. I ate a lot better than most people do. But the Lord told me just a couple of years ago to don't eat beef anymore, and don't eat any dairy products. And he said if you'll eat good, you'll live another 20 years. And if you exercise, you'll live another 20 on top of that. So that's another 40 years. So I'm 70 now. I'll be 71 this month. And that's 40 more years, so that's 70, 80, 90, 100, 110. I don't know whether I want to stay around that long, Lord. But so there must be something terribly wrong with dairy, like cheese and butter and ice cream and yogurt and all these things that people say are so good for you. I noticed that when I quit eating those things that I can breathe better, and a lot of the people in the church of their own will started doing the same thing. A lot of them had asthma and they don't have it anymore. And so, you know, I'm not a doctor or anything, but I'm just telling you what the Lord said. So according to the government, I'm breaking the law by telling you something that's good for you. You know what the Lord told me? Yeah, I'm breaking the law, okay, by telling you what the Lord said. How to stay alive longer. And if you're an older person, they want you to die quickly so that they don't have to pay you Social Security and some of the other old age benefits. But I'm going to fox them. I'm going to fool them. I'm going to stay alive because I'm going to do what the Lord says. Amen? And I've been doing that, and I feel better. And like I said, a lot of people say, man, you don't look a day older than 45. And I'll tell them in the service, or I go someplace and I say I'm 71, and their heads whip around. They go, no. And I said, yes. Okay, let's finish the letter. So she wants to eat healthy now. And a lot of people think that if you eat a lot of fruit, that'll make you healthy. What that'll do is give you... It's not good to eat a whole lot of fruit. The Lord says to eat moderately everything that is legal. The Bible tells you what's legal and what's illegal. You don't have to be a doctor, because a lot of doctors don't know that much about nutrition, but a lot of them today are learning about it, and that's good. And I'm not trying to sell you any health foods or anything like that, because I don't have any to sell you. There are some vitamins and minerals that I get from Russia that the Russian athletes use, and if you ever want to know what they are, I'll let you know, and I'll let you know where to get them. And they give you a lot of energy and make you feel good. Okay, so let's finish off.
In this clinic, they prescribed me natural products containing natural active ingredients, which may be more readily available for absorption and digestion. They prescribed a perfect formulation of daily vitamins and minerals, antioxidants, fighting with cancer, with rich fruits and plants, helping immunity and nervous system.
Yeah, you should eat some fruit, yes. Okay, then what? But if you got diabetes, you got to stay away from it. Okay, then what else?
This treatment isn't included in medical insurance. That is why I have to pay myself. My dear pastor, I want you to understand my problem. I am not able to make up a decision myself. Do you believe that I have a chance for recovery by using these natural products, as they say, for a year?
Well, I believe it'll help because the Lord helps those that help themselves. And he said that our bodies are nourished and maintained by the herbs of the field. It just depends on what things that they're telling you to eat. I believe it definitely helps, but and then, of course, we have to pray and trust the Lord that by his stripes we were healed. It's already a done deal. The Lord has healed you, and you just have to agree with the Word of God that it is the truth and receive your healing and thank the Lord for it. And then, yes, I think it's good to eat the proper things. I would that you would send me a list of the different things that they're telling you to eat. And not everything in a health food store is good. I would say about 90 or 99% of the things in a health food store is just out-and-out junk. And believe me, I used to just eat all that stuff just like it was going out of style. I eat sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, pinion nuts, and a little bit of nuts, and a little piece of fruit, you know, or like some blueberries and strawberries, a little bit of that, a little bit of this and that, and salads, and fish, certain, you know, clean fish that the Lord said is clean. And I like to eat some chicken, you know, the breast of chicken or sliced turkey breast. A little bit of that. And potatoes, if you've got diabetes, that's worse than eating a candy bar. However, I do nibble on them now and then. I'm not going to tell you that I don't. I fudge a little bit, because maybe I don't want to stay around for another 40 years, all right? But I want to stay around as long as the Lord wants me to, so I don't dare disobey him. That's foolishness. Then what else?
I need this treatment since September 2005 through September 2006. Dear Pastor, if you believe, are you able to pay for a year in advance? As you know, I don't get and have such amount of money. For me, it's very expensive, $1,000 per month. I don't even try to lend because I'm not able to return. Either I have to pay for a year or for 6 months, twice in advance. They say after 6 months I will be tested. I hope for good luck. I'm sending you my health certificate. Also, I'm sending you my photograph. It was taken 2 weeks ago. To tell you the truth, I was continuously hesitating to send this letter or not, and at last I decided to send it. I opened you my heart. Thanks to your presence, thanks to your literature, thanks to peaceful and friendly atmosphere of your ministry, I just survived. And now I feel myself as a newborn person, a person who wants to be with you for the rest of my life. It's a real miracle. Thank you very much. Let me end here saying, may the Lord richly bless your ministry. Sincerely yours, Galia.
Okay, now I know this is a born-again Christian. The Bible says that we have to treat people as though we are treating the Lord. So that to me is the Lord asking me to send some money, okay, $1,000 a month. And so I sent her $6,000. Okay, to see if that's going to work for 6 months. And if it does, well, then we'll send her another six. Amen? Mm-hmm. You want to know something? The Lord already sent back around $60,000. Did you know that the Lord said if you sow your money to people that need it, and that's why I'm not saying, you know, we need it. We you know, people reach out to us, and so if we had more money, we could, you may think it's foolish, but well, every time I sow $1,000, it comes back $100,000. Six $100,000, I will definitely get $600,000 back. And you say, well, that's yours? Oh, no. The money goes out just as fast as it comes in, because we're on radio, and we print gospel literature. We have distributors all over the world. And you can hear this woman now has got people going in Russia. We already had Russian people, and in Israel, and Ireland, and Germany, and England, everywhere. So if you want to help, you know, and if you want to increase your financial picture, your financial portfolio, don't invest in this world, because you can see God's wiping it out. Invest in the Lord. And no bank or any investment package will give you the return that the Lord gives you. Give cheerfully, and you'll and to the right work. You know, a lot of people are giving money to works that are out and out not Christian. They're Catholics, and there's no reward for that, but a ill reward. They already have more than enough money. They're tax-free. They own Budweiser beer, Miller High Life, the Jesuits. They own the Napa Valley Gallo Wines Company. They don't pay taxes. Doesn't that just make you sick?
Yes.
Yeah. But us, boy, they make up stories that we don't pay taxes, and we pay our taxes, because the Lord said for us to do that. And so if the Lord said for us to do that, then the Catholics, these big companies that are run by Catholics, should pay their taxes. Really, these big companies could not exist or look as big as they are if they would pay taxes. And the taxes that we're paying are, you can just see what they're doing with that money. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so continue.
The next letter?
Yes.
From Malawi, Africa. Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings in the risen Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ. I thank the Almighty God for the service your literatures are doing amongst us, that many who have read them have given their lives to Christ, and they need more of them to be read.
Oh, and a few people think that I have not offered my services to the people in these distressed areas. We were the first ones there. Absolutely the first ones there, with tractor trailers, loads of things. And we have letters of thanks from those people for it. But we don't like to boast, you know, because if you do, then there's no reward for you, and that means you don't even get to go to heaven. Now, there's a lot of people out there that are doing those things and helping, and I'm glad that they are. But I just want to tell them that that won't save their soul. They'll get a lot of admiration from men and women and children. Yeah, they should, but that doesn't mean that they're saved. They still have they must have Christ in them with the Father by the Spirit, inside their spirit, to be saved. I don't care how many good works you do. I said this on the tape yesterday, that your good works are like filthy rags to the Lord if you think that they're going to get you into the kingdom of heaven, because they won't. You must be born again of the Spirit, okay, and water. All right, then what?
I am praying for you and your ministries. I thank you in advance for the gift you want to send me. Please, it should be a sweatshirt size extra large. I'm in the process of translating some of your literature, but my problem is where to print them. Here we have printing presses, but I can't afford the cost, as they are too expensive. If I had a computer and a photocopying machine, it would be very easy and fast for me. Pastor, should I be sending them to you for printing? My concern is on those who cannot read English, because they are many. We need more of your book, The Messiah, and your tape messages for more people to read and hear them, because America is too far for us to attend your services. I hope one day the Lord will make it happen, either you to come to us here or us to come there, before we meet each other on the other side of eternity. May God bless you and your ministries. We are praying for you, and please be praying for us as well. Yours in Christ's love, Kunjembe Mumba from Malawi, Africa.
I would that we had enough finances to send those people printing presses, because it would save a lot of money for the ministry, and they could print their own literature over there in their own languages. So think about those of you out there that are interested in supporting the work, the real work of the Lord. Send your finances over here, and God bless you. And don't look for an IRS discount, because you're not tithing to the Lord then. All you're doing is giving finances, and you're getting a write-off on it. So therefore, you're giving nothing to the Lord. Give it to the Lord, not expecting a write-off, because that's just phony hypocrisy. Give it to where it hurt, to where it hurteth. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Then, and only then, you'll get a reward. If you either want your reward from the IRS, or you want your reward from the Lord. As for me, I'd like my reward from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The IRS gives ill rewards. So you give and you expect a write-off. Isn't that something? You're not giving anything then. All right, then what?
Mark chapter 3.
Oh, okay, we're at Mark chapter 3 now. And we'll do the translation rather than the King James. You can follow along in the King James. Means the same thing. Just a little easier to understand, I believe. Go ahead.
Jesus heals on the Sabbath, verse 1. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Verse 2. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. Quote, would he heal the man's hand on the Sabbath? Unquote. If he did, they planned to condemn him. Verse 3. Jesus said to the man, quote, come and stand in front of everyone, unquote. Verse 4. Then he turned to his critics and asked, quote, is it legal to do good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing harm? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it, unquote. But they wouldn't answer him. Verse 5. He looked around at them angrily, because he was deeply disturbed by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, quote, reach out your hand, unquote. The man reached out his hand, and it became normal again! Exclamation point. Verse 6. At once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to discuss plans for killing Jesus. Crowds follow Jesus. Verse 7. Jesus and his disciples went out to the lake, followed by a huge crowd from all over Galilee, Judea. Verse 8. Jerusalem, Idumea, from the east of the Jordan River, and even from as far away as Tyre and Sidon. The news about his miracles had spread far and wide, and vast numbers of people came to see him for themselves. Verse 9. Jesus instructed his disciples to bring around a boat and to have it ready in case he was crowded off the beach. Verse 10. There had been many healings that day. As a result, many sick people were crowding around him, trying to touch him. Verse 11. And whenever those possessed by evil spirits caught sight of him, they would fall down in front of him, shrieking, quote, you are the Son of God, unquote. 12. But Jesus strictly warned them not to say who he was. Jesus chooses the 12 apostles. Verse 13. After Jesus went up on a mountain and called the ones he wanted to go with him, and they came to him. Verse 14. Then he selected 12 of them to be his regular companions, calling them apostles. He sent them out to preach. Verse 15. Then he gave them authority to cast out demons. Verse 16. These are the names of the 12 he chose. Simon he renamed Peter. Verse 17. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, but Jesus nicknamed them sons of thunder. Verse 18. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot. Verse 19. Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Jesus and the Prince of Demons. Verse 20. When Jesus returned to the house where he was staying, the crowds began to gather again, and soon he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat.
For people that think they can sin, and that God is not strict, a lot of people think they can just keep sinning and sinning and sinning, but remember that Eve sinned once. All she did was ate one piece of fruit, and that was it for her, her husband, and all humanity. all of us are on our way to hell unless we accept the Lord Jesus Christ and walk the straight and narrow. Now, Judas betrayed the Lord once, and it is written that it would have been better that he had never been born. And another thing, too, is if you usurp authority, all you have to do is do it once and you've broken every commandment in the books, which means you've betrayed the Lord. You betrayed his trust. He trusts that you're going to do what he says. If you lie, all you need to lie is once. And if you are a backbiter, or if you're a person that is a homosexual, you're an adulterer, adulteress, you're a fornicator, you're actually doing it in your head, you don't even have to any longer. The Lord says, go to the actual act. But if you actually even lust after a woman in your heart, you've already committed adultery with her, and that's all you need to do is once. So the Lord is a once kind of a God. That shows how strict he is. The Bible, when I'm telling you about how that God consumed the entire earth in the Old, you say, that's Old Testament. He promises the same thing in the New. He said, but he's not going to use water this time. He's going to burn you, anyone that's not keeping the commandments. If you think you can just go all day long and just lie and cheat and steal, commit adultery and fornication and lesbianism, homosexuality, and break the first commandment. First commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You don't do that. You don't love your neighbor. People don't back up the pastor or the preacher, the teacher, the prophet. They don't give them the messages. How many times do you think you can sin? The command of the prophet is to give me my messages, because there's a lot of hurting people out there in the world. And if you don't, that means you're disobedient. And if you're disobedient, that's your character. It's the same character as the devil. The Bible says that it's the... You want to read this? Well, I'll read it for you. I can read pretty good if I put that right in my face here. He says the power of the air. The person that sins and doesn't pay any attention, you are I don't have my reading glasses on, but this is wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so if you're disobeying the Lord at all, then you're walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And what it is the whole world is disobeying God. They're all deceived, and they think that they can get by with more than one sin. And it's just once, people. Okay, so we must have the character of the Lord. So that's why I'm bringing a message on character, and character is the quality of the Lord, the constitution, the type, the spirit, the capacity, the essence, the disposition, and the fiber of the Lord. And that is that you don't sin once. Not once, because you cause your soul to go to hell, and the people that see you doing that, you're going to cause them to go to hell as well. The Lord is strict, and he tells us that we must be strict with ourselves. We must take up the cross. We have to deny ourselves strictly and take up the cross strictly, not roses or to kick back and just say, oh, it doesn't make any difference. And some people, disobedient people, get furrows on their forehead like, oh, they're just so hurt in their heart that they do these things. But they never change. You must change. You must become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You must become spiritual. You must have the character or the quality of the Lord. You must be like, exactly like the Lord. Not imitating him, but to be an actual part of him. the Lord type, a God-man and a God-woman, with the Spirit of God giving you the power to be able to do that, the Spirit of God in Christ in you, and so that you'll have the capacity, the ability to be able to do the things, that is, to allow the Lord to do the things that He does, and that is to heal people on the Sabbath day, or whatever day it is that He leads you in. Thou were living in the Sabbath day every day because we've rested from our old life of disobedience, of a bad character. Now we have in us the very essence of God, the disposition of God, the very God person in us, Christ with the Father by the Spirit. And so don't sin once, brothers and sisters, because, you know, there's a lot of false doctrine going around today, and the Lord warns about that over and over again, five times in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. And so the false prophets love to mislead you, to offend you, because you'll be eternally offended by burning in hell. And I'm using scare tactics? Well, the Lord says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. You better be afraid. You're afraid of His wrath, aren't you? I saw a bunch of you fleeing the city in cars. It was like wall to wall. It looked like a parking lot on the freeway getting out of that place. Now, that wasn't a natural disaster. It was God using the nature that He made, that He created, to do what He wanted to do there. And it's good, you know, like I said, we went there to, we've already donated many truckloads of things over there. We were there first before the government was. And we have the letters to prove it. So don't think that we don't have compassion on people, because we most certainly do. But people don't have to go through red tape when they come to us like they do a lot of the other agencies, the government agencies. First, you got to fill out papers. Some of the people are just dripping with dung and urine and everything, and they've starved to death, and they've been eating pork and beans for a few days, and they certainly don't feel like making out papers. You know, when they're hungry and their little kid is dying, and a lot of their family is face down in the water, and the stench is there, who wants to fill out papers? You know, you just can't understand how people would want you to do something like that. But the devil delights in that. He delights even when God is pouring out His wrath, because He has caused people to sin and be part of the world and love the world rather than love the Lord. And so He leads them into temptation and leads them to fall, so that God has to, because His word says, in the book of Deuteronomy, it shows the blessings and the cursings, and God has to curse you if you don't do what He says. And don't sin once. Eve did. The people in Sodom and Gomorrah, they just kept it up. The people of the world kept it up in the days of Noah. And the people are doing it here. That isn't the big easy. Look at it now. It's the big hard. Because the way of the transgressor, the Bible says, is hard. Amen. And you ain't seen nothing yet. I said that with the tsunami. They said, oh, that's horrible. That's nothing in comparison to what's coming, what you see in New Orleans. God will destroy many cities. And He's going to cause the mountains to actually disappear because of such a mighty worldquake. The hills and the mountains will disappear. He's trying to wake you up to get saved, so that you don't have to spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire with all the torture and torments there. Because the fact you're rejecting the salvation that He has provided for you through His Son, Christ Jesus, you're a bad guy in the eyes of God, or a bad woman. And you have to repent. Wake up before it's too late, because the government isn't the final judge. God shall judge this government, and He shall judge it according to His word. And He's going to judge you also according to His word. So if you get saved, His word cannot reject you. He will accept you. For all that call upon the name of the Lord in truthfulness and sincerity shall be saved. And the name of the Lord is the Word of God. If you really seek the Word of God and do everything it says and get yourself saved, you'll have the power of God in you to be able to keep all the commandments and even more so. So do it. Say the sinner's prayer. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You won't turn me away, Lord. You will save my soul. I know because your word says that you will not turn anyone away that calls upon you for salvation. So do it now. All right? Now let's continue on.
Jesus and the Prince of Demons, verse 20. When Jesus returned to the house where he was staying, the crowds began to gather again, and soon he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat. Verse 21. When his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him home with them. Quote, he's out of his mind, unquote, they said. Verse 22. But the teachers of religious law who had arrived from Jerusalem said, quote, he's possessed by Satan, the prince of demons. That's where he gets the power to cast out demons, unquote.
Right there, they've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. If you people keep calling this work of God a cult, you're in trouble because you have been blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and there's no forgiveness for that in this world or in the world to come. So stop doing that. You possibly have done that ignorantly, but if you know that we're telling the truth and you call us a cult, you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and there's no forgiveness for you. You're on your way to hell in the lake of fire. So you better be careful. They're saying we're a cult, and they've taken away tax-exempt statuses and everything. In other words, in the Old Testament, the Bible says that people of the Lord, the real people of the Lord, should never be taxed. But in the New Testament, the Lord says for us to pay our taxes, and so we certainly do. Because that's all the people of the world have, is our tax money. They don't have any salvation. And that's all you people that blaspheme the Holy Spirit have, is what you have on this side of eternity. And that's it. And so far as the long life is concerned, you're finished. You're going to spend eternity forever crying out and pleading, but you'll never be answered. All right, then what?
Verse 23. Jesus called them over and said to them by way of illustration, quote, how can Satan cast out Satan? Verse 24. A kingdom at war with itself will collapse. Verse 25. A home divided against itself is doomed. Verse 26. If Satan is fighting against himself, how can he stand? He would never survive. Verse 27. Let me illustrate this. You can't enter a strong man's house and rob him without first tying him up. Only then can his house be robbed. Verse 28. I assure you that any sin can be forgiven, including blasphemy. Verse 29. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. It is an eternal sin. Unquote. Verse 30. He told them this because they were saying he had an evil spirit. The true family of Jesus. Verse 31. Jesus' mother and brothers arrived at the house where he was teaching.
Yeah, see, because the Spirit of God is in true Christians like myself. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ with the Father by the Spirit is in here. And if you call me a cult, you're calling the Spirit that's in me a cult. If you're saying the work that the Lord is doing in and through me is evil or cultish, no, you're evil. You'll know that on the last day. I believe God sends you strong delusions to make you believe a lie, like the Lord said he would in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Okay, keep going. And he said he'd send strong delusions to you that your soul might be damned. Now, that's the kind of God that you're dealing with here, trying to deal with you. Okay, then what?
They stood outside and sent word for him to come out and talk with them. Verse 32. There was a crowd around Jesus, and someone said, quote, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you, unquote. Verse 33. Jesus replied, quote, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Unquote. Verse 34. Then he looked at those around him and said, quote, these are my mother and brothers. Verse 35, anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother.
Right, and if you don't do God's will, you're chaff to be burned. And okay, that was the 35th verse in chapter 3 of Mark, and now we have the commentary.
Chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. Despite rejection by the religious establishment, Jesus enjoyed an ever-growing following of people, even from places he had not yet ministered in. Nearly halfway through 3 years of public ministry, Jesus' popularity peaked. The great demands on Jesus for service prompted him to appoint the 12 members of his followers, the apostles. Not even Jesus attempted to minister alone. We need to surround ourselves with those who will support us, help us in the ministry, to maintain what we have gained through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel. Chapter 3, verses 20 through 30. Although Satan causes a great deal of trouble in this world of ours, God has his supernatural power over him. God created Satan. Satan didn't create anything but trouble and lies. Since Jesus is God, he has the power to...
God created Lucifer, but Lucifer became Satan when he wanted to be God. Amen?
Amen.
And to pull God down and raise himself up. Okay, then what?
Since Jesus is God, he has the power to work his will and make Satan do whatever God wants him to do. Binding Satan is no big deal to the Lord. Binding Satan's stronghold of demons and loosening his grip on our life is the solemn work of Christ to cause us to be able to grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ.
Right. The Lord Jesus Christ has already destroyed the works of Satan. And if he be in you with the Father by the Spirit, you have power and dominion over him, but you have to know that. And you have to know it all day long in order to take power and dominion over the satanic people that are around you or the satanic situations that surround you so that you can control... let the Lord to control every situation. And if you don't, that means that you don't have faith enough to know that you've been saved. You don't have faith enough to know that the Spirit in you is powerful and that the Spirit in you is capable of ruling and having authority and power and dominion over every situation. All right? Mm-hmm. So make sure you do what the Lord says. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, what else?
Not one of our past sins is so heinous that it cannot be forgiven, drowned in the sea of God's forgetfulness, so that he remembers it against us no more. No hurt so deep that it cannot be healed. The one exception to this is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which is denying God's power through his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
All right, now here's some more. I have a little prayer here, and then also... a little further of history. Okay, go ahead.
We pray to the Lord Jesus Christ because we love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. I love to tell the Lord how much I love him because he is our God. He is the very God Almighty. You, Lord Jesus, are a man, a very true man. There is a man sitting on the throne of God because he became a man, and he is a man, and he's there on the throne. He is also God. That's why we can identify with him, because he is a man, a very true man. We love him because of this. In you, Jesus, we see God. In your word, we see God. And in your word, we find God, and we obtain God by your word. In you, Jesus. In you, we also see man. But in you, we see a proper man. That's why we worship you. Today, you are on the very throne of God. How I worship you! Exclamation point. How everyone here worships you! Exclamation point. We worship you as the exalted man on the throne of God. We very much thank you. Today we are teaching and preaching you, declaring you as the living God and man, and ministering you to everyone that we know, and even that we don't know, to all the very needy ones in this world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We exalt you in our meeting, in the services. You are God exalted, Head, and also our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We give you all the thanks, all the glory, and all the praise. Thank you for your redeeming power. Thank you for your life. Thank you for all that you are. In your precious name we worship you, Lord Jesus, Father God. Amen and amen and amen. The
okay.
Spirit.
Go ahead.
The Spirit is the way that we spread the gospel. The spreading of the gospel after the resurrection and ascension of Christ was greatly facilitated by the common language, the single rule, the roads, and the domestic order that Rome established. Greek was the language of the educated classes of people. The New Testament, though written almost entirely by Jews, Luke was the only exception, that was written in Greek, not Hebrew. Even before the rise of the Roman Empire, about 3 centuries before Christ, the Hebrew Old Testament was translated into Greek. This version, called the Septuagint, was translated by 70 scholars of Alexandria, Egypt. When the Lord Jesus was on earth, many times the scriptures he quoted were from the Septuagint.
Okay, and now we have also part four of the character that I was talking about, the character of Christ. The character you must be, and Christ never sinned once, and that means if the Lord is in you, then you will not sin once. You will keep all the commandments, because we know what happens when somebody sins once. You've broken all the commandments, and you'll be on your way to hell in the lake of fire. And, of course, you're not ignorant of that now. All right, so let's go ahead with character or constitution or quality or type or spirit or capability, essence, your disposition, your godly disposition, and your godly fiber. You're made out of a godly fiber of quality or a God type, God-like, okay, exactly like. And then go ahead.
Patience, being able to wait, not being anxious. According to the Apostle James, the book of James, chapter 5, the farmer who wishes to obtain the fruit of the earth cannot be anxious.
Right. You know, we just planted a lot of orange trees, and they had oranges on them already, and grapefruit trees, and lemons and limes. And they're not ripe yet, and so we have to have patience until they get ripe before we pick them. Amen?
Amen.
So the farmer, is what he's saying there, is the same thing. He has to exercise patience. He plants seed. He can't harvest right away, right? He has to wait until it grows up. Read it again.
According to the Apostle James, the book of James, chapter 5, the farmer who wishes to obtain the fruit of the earth cannot be anxious. We have a lot of orange trees in California, grapefruit, lemon, and lime trees, and they're green. We want to taste them, but we have to be patient until the grapefruit turns yellow, until the oranges turn orange, until the lemons turn yellow, and the limes, they become fully ripe. Now in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 7, the farmer must wait for the appointed time.
To harvest. Can't go out there and start picking it when it's green, unless you want to get sick to your stomach. What else?
A patient person can wait, but a person that's not patient, they'll go and pick the oranges while they're green, and the grapefruits, and they'll say, I don't like oranges and grapefruits, and the lemons are too sour. Contrary to the common understanding, patience is different from endurance. To be patient is not to be slothful and sloppy like Brother Barney and several others in the church, but to work diligently without anxiety and to work in the Spirit of the Lord. Let the Lord work his works in you, and be diligent about allowing the Lord to work in you, and to work with wisdom and knowledge and understanding, the fear of the Lord, and without anxiety. You don't have to have anxiety if you know it's the Lord living in and through you. Everything we do does take time. The amount of effort put forth will determine how much a person can accomplish. There isn't any kind of work that can be done cheaply. Those who hope for instant accomplishments can never do the work of God. To do God's work, a person must work daily in the Spirit and without anxiety, because you know the Spirit tells you no, and you just go ahead and receive no. A patient person is not distracted by anything in the world, anything that is temporary, since he knows his commission. He knows what he is supposed to do. This is like the farmer to whom waiting is a normal thing. On one hand, he works. He toils in the field, planting crops and also trees that bear fruit. On the other hand, he waits for it to grow. In leading others to the Lord, one may often be disappointed at first. But those who are patient never give up hope. It doesn't mean in their own spirit. They keep badgering a person, but they allow the Lord to work his work in them. People look at you to see if you are patient. When our work suffers a setback, we must be patient. Maybe it's something that the Lord doesn't want us to have. For instance, when our mail permit was taken away, I started thinking of why, and I can't recall anyone that truly responded to us in a favorable manner by getting something in the mail. Just very few, if any. But when we distribute them on the street, then we win many souls that way. Time will prove and time will tell. Time will vindicate the Lord and manifest the truth of the Lord. The manifestation of the glory of God may be only half a minute away if you'll just wait. A person must be aggressive, but not anxious, We have to work with all of the heart, soul, mind, and strength, but don't be anxious for the results to come. This requires practice and patience also. A character produced out of patience is invaluable. Why? Because he has a good constitution. He has the same constitution. He's made up of the same things that the Lord is. He has good quality. That's what good character is, a good quality person. There are also bad characters, bad constitutions, bad quality, bad types. A good constitution or good character is a good type, a good spirit. The person that is not a good character has a bad spirit. They never learn. They're unteachable, unruly. A person that has a good character has the capacity to do good works, but a person that doesn't have good character only does bad works. The essence of a good character is the essence of God. When I say essence, the essence of this table that I'm working on here is made out of wood. The essence of it is wood. The essence of a good person, a good character, a good type, is a person that is spiritual. They've been crucified, they're resurrected, and they're sitting with Christ in heavenly places. They have a good disposition, a good character that has a good disposition, but a bad character has a bad disposition. They think that they're so godly because they're slow and sloppy. They may distribute literature quickly, but they also are quick to disobey. A good person that has good character are of good fiber because their essence is the fiber of God. A person that is a bad character is the fiber of Satan. They are disobedient. It's just like I was reading before, Ephesians 2:2, wherein in times past you that are really of the Lord walked according to the course of this world, and those of you that are in the church are still walking according to the course of this world. You do things according to worldliness and according to the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Do you still want to disobey some more? Because if you disobey the Lord, you're going to hell, then the lake of fire. I don't care if you're in the church or not. The Lord doesn't care. So we're to be anxious, not aggressive, not anxious. This requires practice and patience. A character produced out of patience is invaluable. And when you have patience, that means you're going to go through some tribulations. We must not draw conclusions quickly concerning people or matters. After only a few more days of waiting, the real situation will present itself. It'll emerge. We must learn to be patient when we are in need. But if the Lord tells us to move now, we must also be very quick to move as He tells us. If we are patient when in need, we will never have to borrow. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, though he felt heavy and pressed, he was nonetheless patient. Those who serve the Lord must possess such a quality. They must have that kind of character, fiber. Many people make a clamor over minor hardships. They make known their problems, even their smallest problems, and make an instant judgment concerning any matter which comes their way.
Well, I see our time is up right now, so we'll continue this on tomorrow's broadcast. We'll be doing Mark 4, Chapter 4, and Part 5 of Character. Until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord, and make sure you keep studying the Word, and don't sin once. Not even once. God bless.